The following program is brought to you in living color.
Ladies and gentlemen, let the attack begin.
What are you doing here?
Testing for radioactivity.
Radioactivity? What is this radioactivity?
Warning. The program you're about to hear does not necessarily share the opinions and viewpoints of this radio station. Some of the material and interviews have been altered for entertainment purposes only. If you have any complaints about the Dorfon Sports Radio program, please contact our customer care service center at 1-800.
Yo, mama!
And now, the most eye-popping, jaw-dropping, smash-mouth, bone-crunching, heart-stopping, cutting-edge, interactive sports commentary show on the radio, Dorf on Sports. Now, here's your host, Andy Dorf.
Good morning, sports fans, and welcome to Dorf on Sports right here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Down 1-3. The unthinkable has happened. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and the Golden State Warriors are going back to Golden State to play one more game, a decisive game 7. Monday night, baby. That's right. It'll happen Monday night. But we get to talk about it today. We get to talk about that. We get to talk about the NHL playoffs, which are now in the Stanley Cup Finals as well. And you have the Sharks and the Penguins going at it. We've got Major League Baseball. Jeff, I'll be honest with you, brother. Unbelievable stuff from Klay Thompson and Steph Curry as they willed those Golden State Warriors to get back to a Game 7.
I think it's almost more unthinkable to think of an NBA Finals without Golden State defending their title. We'll see how it plays out on Monday night, but they would not go into that good night. They would not let their season end in the state of Oklahoma. So one last crack. Home team's got to be favored in Game 7.
Oh, yeah, big time. Early line was like 7, 7.5. But truth be told, we're going to get into this, and we're going to break it down, and we're going to figure out how in the world they did that. But tremendous shooting from Klay Thompson, and then the MVP was the MVP when needed. But we got to take a quick pause for the cause. He's Jeff Rich. I am the Dorf Man. It's Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We'll be right back, everybody.
A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery. Grow your contact list and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
How fast are Allegra gel caps?
I didn't know you got a cat fast.
How strong are Allegra gel caps?
10 more lawns to go strong.
Non-drowsy Allegra gel caps give you noticeable relief of your indoor and outdoor allergies. It starts working in just 1 hour, 2 times faster than Claritin's first dose, and stays strong for 24 hours.
It's relief when the pollen's off the charts strong, even in the convertible.
Allegra gel caps. Nothing's faster, nothing's stronger among OTC-branded oral antihistamines. Use only as directed. Visit Allegra.com.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for prescription drugs? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get prescription drugs at huge discounts from Canada Drug Center. That's right, the most popular drugs for cholesterol, high blood pressure, depression, diabetes, arthritis, and many more are now up to 75% off. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices when you can get brand name drugs at the lowest price? Call today and get up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs. Never pay high prices again. Get the most popular drugs at huge savings from our Canadian and international pharmacies and fulfillment centers. No insurance? No problem. Prices are so low you do not need benefits or insurance to get all your prescriptions fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Order today and get free shipping. Just call 800-950-1180. Up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs and free shipping. Call 800-950-1180. That's 800-950-1180.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation
at 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895.
We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895. That's 800-760-4895.
Here's Thompson, who just checked back in and knocks out a three. Thompson, a rainbow three. Klay Thompson with his eighth three-pointer. Bolton keeping it alive for the new possession. Thompson turning and shooting. What a shot by Klay Thompson. A long three for Thompson, and that is an NBA record. His 10th three-pointer of the night.
The marvelous one on the call. And I'll tell you what, Klay Thompson was flat out marvelous when you think about it. 11 of 18 from three-point distance. 41 points total. Steph Curry, 31, 10 rebounds, and 9 assists. Almost a triple-double. He's looked like the unanimous MVP at the last couple of games to me. Look, bottom line is, you cannot take anything away from the performance from those two guys. Flat out, unbelievable. Maybe one of the better performances that I've ever seen by guys that are going up against it in a game where they could get closed out. No fear. They just went about their business. Didn't look great, I'll be honest with you, Jeff, for most of that game. OKC did kind of what they do or what they've been doing, which is control the tempo, control the game. But then late in the ball game, things kind of slipped away and they became the Oklahoma City Thunder and who they are. Kevin Durant making a lot of unforced errors in the beginning of the game. I thought he shot too much. Just a lot of things going on for the Oklahoma City Thunder. I really feel like Game 6 was a must-win for them. Game 7 on the road, it doesn't look great for them. Let's be honest at this point, when at 3-1, it was looking pretty fantastic. All of a sudden, things are different, and the champs are the champs.
And Choke-Lahoma City, the Choke-Lahoma moniker usually given to the college football team there in Norman, but you have an 8-point lead for most of the second half. It kind of starts to come apart with about 3 minutes left. And, you know, when Klay Thompson's hitting those shots, he allows Steph Curry to not have to do as much, but he opens up Steph's game so that Steph can do everything. You take away the 3-point line from Steph Curry, he's going to go baseline on you. He's going to find the open guy. Our man Shane Koenig always talks about ball movement. Golden State does it as well as anyone. But it really seems as we get into these later stages of the playoffs, you don't notice Golden State's depth as much as you notice their big three, Green, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, stepping up in the big moment. And, you know, there was a turning point in this game late, you know, in the late moments, as I believe it was tied at 101 or tied at 99. Russell Westbrook goes driving down the lane. Draymond Green comes up from behind, and Westbrook dribbles the ball off of his leg. Yeah. And that really turned things around. You look at the replay, and I'm sure that when they did look at the replay to determine possession, they saw Draymond Green committing what would have been his sixth foul, and they could not do anything about it. But, you know, give Golden State all the credit, because that game didn't end when it was tied at 101, or even when they took the lead at 104, 101. You know, they go to the line late. They hit their free throws. Oklahoma City struggles a little bit at the line, and they take some ill-advised shots. I mean, I think that we saw Russ Westbrook get burnt trying to draw a foul, kicking his leg out on a three-point attempt that he basically line-drived at the rim, and the result was what you would expect from a shot like that when you don't get the foul call. But when Klay Thompson's hitting shots with a hand in his face, I mean, how do you coach against that? What can you do? That's just greatness, and it's sometimes tough to overcome greatness with all of the talent and effort in the world on the part of Oklahoma City. But Golden State showed that they were a championship-caliber team. Oklahoma City had the opportunity to at least put themselves on that line in the finals. They don't get it done at home in Game 6. Game 7 could seriously get away from them.
You know, the unsung hero to me is Andre Iguodala once again, coming up with some huge defensive plays, a couple of big layups on the other end of the floor for them. But once again, just showing how great of a defender he is late in ball games, comes up with a couple of huge plays for them, scores a couple of buckets. Again, I'm not taking anything away from Curry or Thompson, but truth be told, Andre Iguodala was the MVP of the finals for them for a reason from last year, and that guy is so instrumental in what they do. Harrison Barnes had a big couple of plays too. You know what? Andrew Bogut comes up with a block or two. And you know what? He struggles from the free throw line. And moving forward, that's going to be an issue because Azili does the same thing. Festus doesn't shoot him very well either. So that could be something, if they do make it out of Game 7, that Cleveland thinks about late in ball games, because that did seem to be a problem and an issue with keeping those guys on the floor. You want your best defenders out there, but at the same time, if they're a liability on the offensive side, it doesn't make sense to have them in the ball game. So Andre Iguodala, once again, to me, is just the unsung hero and the glue that keeps these guys together, Jeff.
Yeah, and you got to force the ball into your hands. You got to force Andre Iguodala to beat you. You know, if you're doing that, if you take the ball out of Curry and Thompson's hands and you force Iguodala to shoot a three-pointer or even force him to drive the lane and try to prevent him from getting to the rack, I mean, he made some miraculous plays. That left-handed finger roll, yeah, that he just kind of threw at the front of the rim. He was well defended. The shot goes in anyway, as many shots do for Golden State. You know, I think Oklahoma City's got a problem on their hands, and it's not the distraction of number 35's contract coming to an end. I don't see any reason why he could think that there's a better situation out there than what he's got with Billy Donovan in year one. And you know, despite all the narrative about the alpha dog battle between him and Westbrook there in Oklahoma City, I think that they've played well together. I think that they've worked Deion Waiters and Serge Ibaka into the game. And I think that they figured out how to do something that a lot of NBA teams have just abandoned in this day and age, and that's to utilize their big man. And Steven Adams can be a force in this series, but he can also disappear at times, and Golden State's front court might have something to do with that as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, bottom line is a fantastic performance from Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, the entire Golden State Warriors for not giving up. I want to ask you this. I kind of was like down on Steve Kerr and how he was going about his business, kind of stubborn, if you ask me, and almost kind of like a one-trick pony, to be honest with you. And what I mean by that is we all know the kind of style that Golden State plays, and if they do not hit shots, well, you know what? They're kind of in trouble, and I still feel that way. But his one trick may be good enough to beat everybody in the league, and it has more to do with the guys he has in those pieces and the players versus him, and that's really just my honest to goodness feeling. I think that Billy Donovan has done a great job of coaching and maybe even out coaching Steve Kerr to a certain degree, but ultimately players make plays, and he's lucky, man. He's got guys that can shoot the lights out when they need to, and I honestly feel like Billy Donovan has done a great job, and he's out coached Steve Kerr.
Kerr puts it all on his players, win, lose, or draw. Yeah. Kerr definitely says, you know, he won't use the injury excuse. The you know, after game five, he said Steph Curry didn't play well. He didn't make excuses. He just, you know, he says, if I'm going to praise my players when they do well, he's like, I'm going to put it on them when they lose as well. And that's what he's done. And, you know, I think it really empowers the players there that they don't feel like they're taking marching orders, but they feel like they're carrying out Kerr's philosophy on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, look, bottom line is, hey, he's got players that can go out and bail him out all the time. And it's all about ball movement for them. So if they move the ball around, they're going to hit the open man. And more often than not, their guy's going to hit shots. I hate to say it. It's just the way it goes because they're that good. And amazingly, they are now tied 3-3 and with a shot to go to the finals and repeat as champions against your Cleveland Cavaliers, who we haven't even talked about that, but we will get into it on the other side because John Poulter, our professor of sports, is joining us. Keep it close. It is Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices. Again, get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-663-7126 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-663-7126 to take your call now. Call 877-663-7126. That's 877-663-7126. Again, 877-663-7126.
Attention! If you're in the market for a power scooter to reclaim your freedom, we have great news. Hartway, one of the world's leading manufacturers, has new factory direct power scooters for as little as $39 a month. Now you can stay active and have the freedom that a power scooter can give you. For over 20 years, we've been building the best and most reliable power scooters in the marketplace. And now with our new direct-to-consumer division, we can offer you wholesale prices. Plus, with Hartway Care Service, you are always protected. You will not find a better power scooter for as little as $39 a month anywhere. And with free shipping, if you call today, you can have a new power scooter delivered to your door for free in days. Financing is easy with your credit card or PayPal credit. Call now. 1-800-427-0183. 1-800-427-0183. That's 1-800-427-0183. 1-800-427-0183.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers.
Call 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. That's 800-296-0906.
James drives and finishes. James spins, gets in the paint, lefty layup. Strong move from LeBron James. Irving to James. James tries another three and hits. 3-for-4 from downtown for LeBron James. Irving, shuffle pass. James fakes and finishes. Carroll tried to draw the foul. James' jump shot is good. He has been hitting the perimeter shot. James, quick spin move. It's finished. Shot clock down to 5 again. Says clear out. James puts his head down, drives, layup is good.
Telephone ringing off the wall.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back. It is Dorfont Sports. This is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. In case you didn't know, that was LeBron James kind of finishing up the Toronto Raptors in Game 6. And, you know, look, John Poulter, our professor of sports, we usually talk to him about hockey. However, the other day, he and I are shooting messages back and forth on Twitter about what's going on in the games. And I'm talking the Toronto Raptors and the Cleveland Cavaliers. And he's not liking some of the calls and saying to me that LeBron can basically run over everybody, this and that and the other. And he does. Don't get me wrong, John. He absolutely does kind of throw his weight around there. But at the end of the day, I just think that the Cleveland Cavaliers are better than the Toronto Raptors. And with that being said, the Toronto Raptors did a great job of pushing it to 6 games. In the games they lost, pretty lopsided. The games that they won, competitive and very fun and, you know, entertaining basketball to watch. But truth be told, the better team was the Cleveland Cavaliers. And offering a little bit of condolences, but at the same time, LeBron James, as Jeff alluded to, and we all watched it, had a lot of praise for your Toronto Raptors in a victory for him, but in a defeat for them, saying, you know, look at this fan base, just unbelievable how they're there cheering this team on, even in defeat after the ball game. So a lot to hold your heads high about there in Toronto and as Canadians in general about the Toronto Raptors, John.
Yeah, it was kind of a funny series. As you and the audience know, I'm not a huge basketball fan. It's something I watch periodically, and it's not a sport that I would consider myself anything close to an expert on. It's not a game I follow. So I kind of watch it for the entertainment standpoint, and of course in this city we've been so starved for a winner in many sports, all of the sports actually now for over 20 years. Haven't seen anything major since the last time the Toronto Blue Jays won the World Series back-to-back in 92 and 93. So this is a city that's extremely hungry for a title. We thought we had a chance last year with the Blue Jays. We all know how that ended. And quite frankly, I don't think anybody expected the Raptors to beat the Cavaliers, be it the media, be it the fan base, the players, the TV guys, or even the league itself. I mean, Cleveland finished first in the conference for a reason that deservedly gave them the home court advantage. LeBron James may or may not be the best player in the league, depending on which way you want to look at it. I know there's a lot of people think Steph Curry is probably the best player in the league, but he and James are such different players playing different positions, it's very hard to compare them. But certainly in this series, James was the marquee player, and basically at the end of the day, he was the major difference. The thing I don't like about LeBron James is here's a guy that weighs 260 pounds, but he dives all over the court. And I know that that's a little bit prevalent in the game of basketball that's played in the NBA, but quite frankly, I get extremely tired of seeing a 260-pound guy getting blown over because a guy is running by him very quickly. It almost seems to me that in a lot of cases, James is the best player on the court, and he's also the referee, and I find that a little bit distasteful in any sport. In this particular case, we happen to be talking about basketball.
That's the voice of John Poulter, our professor of sports, usually breaks down hockey and baseball, but today kind of doing a little overtime for us and talking a little bit about the Raptors and the Cleveland Cavaliers and that series. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, you know, I want to say that when LeBron was doing his post-game interview, right after he goes to a almost record setting, he's up there with the Boston Celtics, 6 straight NBA Finals appearances. It doesn't really mean a lot unless you win, but still a special moment for LeBron James to once again get through the Eastern Conference. And he stops. He stops before he begins the interview and says, "Will you stop and listen to this?" It's the Toronto Raptors crowd at the Air Canada Center chanting, "We the North." And he says that this is a great country. these are great fans. And, you know, because LeBron, in addition to being a top two player in the game, is also certainly an ambassador for the game. And he wants to recognize that this is not just an American sport, but a North American sport with the involvement of the Toronto Raptors. You have so I mean, that is what it is. The Cavaliers, like you said, we're the better team. But let me ask you something. Let me shift gears kind of more into your lane with the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Pittsburgh Penguins. Bishop goes down in game one. I think that a lot of people thought that Tampa Bay would not only handle Pittsburgh, but would be the odds-on favorite for the Cup, you know, as long as they got through Pittsburgh, which they didn't do. But playing without their goalie, they get the hot hand from the backup. How much did that affect the series, and does Pittsburgh win this game or win the series either way?
I think Pittsburgh wins it either way. I really don't think there was much of a drop-off, Jeff, when Bishop was hurt and Vasilevskiy came in. I mean, there was really... I guess I could say that he probably showed his inexperience a little bit, but certainly in terms of the way that he played, he was not the reason that Tampa Bay lost. I think the series might have turned in Game 6 when very early in the game what looked to be a legitimate Tampa Bay goal was ruled offside, and it was very, very questionable whether it was onside or offside. They ruled that it was offside, so the goal came off the board. The score stayed 0-0, and very shortly after that, Pittsburgh took the lead, and I think that was a huge momentum swing for both teams, and Pittsburgh being the veteran team, were able to take advantage of it. But certainly in Game 7, Pittsburgh were the dominant team. No question that Pittsburgh deserved to win Game 7. Tampa Bay gave it a heck of a shot. But in answer to your question, frankly, I think Pittsburgh wins that series either way. And, you know, when we chatted about this either last week or the week before, my picks from both of those series were Pittsburgh and San Jose, and it looked a little dicey there for a while when Pittsburgh lost Game 5, but I still think we have the best two teams facing off in the final starting Monday night.
San Jose obviously playing Pittsburgh, and, you know, we have speed, we've got plenty of star power. Who's going to shut who down? I mean, at the end of the day, that's what this is all about, right, John?
Yeah, it is. I think we're going to see a good wide-open series. I think we're going to see a six- or a seven-game series. Pittsburgh has home ice advantage, and both teams have a number of stars. You know, looking at Pittsburgh, you've got Holmquist, you've got Chris Kunitz, Malkin, of course, Sidney Crosby, and going out to San Jose, you've got Couture, Hurdle, Marlowe, Pavelski, Thornton, and Joel Ward, who isn't really what you'd classify as a star, but he's certainly become a solid, valuable player and a great role player on that San Jose team. I think that the forwards probably match off in terms of quality and scoring touch. Where I think that the advantage is going to be is defensively. I think San Jose's best two defensemen, Brett Burns and Vlasic, are probably better than the Pittsburgh defense, who are going to miss Trevor Daley with that broken ankle. He won't play. Letang is really the only top-notch, well-known defenseman that Pittsburgh have. He's going to log an awful lot of minutes, and that's not unusual for him, and he's very capable of doing it. But I think the depth on the San Jose defense will be a key factor. And I think that the goaltending, although it's been fairly even, I think Martin Jones probably is more used to being in the spotlight, having played the whole season as the number one, having been to the Stanley Cup final before as a backup with the LA Kings. And in Pittsburgh, they still seem to be waffling a little bit between the veteran Fleury and the rookie Murray. I suspect Murray is going to be the guy that's going to carry the load throughout the finals, and unless they start to lose or he plays badly or gets hurt. He's the guy that's got them there, but you have to think that from a nerve standpoint, Jones is probably a little bit better equipped for that. So you add up all of those factors, plus the fact that San Jose is a better road team than Pittsburgh is, in my opinion. I think we're looking at San Jose in six games.
San Jose sure has gotten a lot of mileage out of that blockbuster deal with Boston to get Joe Thornton about 10 years ago, haven't they, John?
Yeah, they have, and you know, anytime you look at a deal like that, Jeff, you know, it's the same in any sport. You always kind of look at it, is it a deal that works for both teams now? Is it a deal that works for one team now and the other team in the future? Is it a deal where the team getting the better player wins the deal, or is it a team where the team that gets the most players or draft picks in return wins the deal? I got to look at this one and say that Thornton probably was the key player in that deal, and he's still producing a number of years later, and he's a leader on that team. So I got to think that San Jose got a lot of mileage out of that, as you suggest.
Hey, John, do you have a few more minutes to spend with us on the other side?
I sure do.
All right, we'll keep you then through the break, and we'll continue with our professor of sports, John Poulter, on the other side. And obviously, got to take a quick pause for the cause, but I think we're in for a really good one, to be honest with you, man. A really good series. I've been with the Sharks the whole way. Remember that, man. I've kind of thought that they're the best team the whole way, and we'll see if I'm right on this whole thing. Because when they play well, I think there's nobody that can beat them, and we'll find out if they can get through the Penguins, too, to win the Cup, and it'll be pretty impressive. And obviously, got to remember the troops. It's Memorial Day. Thanks to them. Obviously, we appreciate your services to all of us doing what we want to do and love to do each and every day. So keep it close. It's Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
This is the first week of May, so you've probably already broken in your grill for the spring. I'm Danny Lifford with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about safe grilling right after this.
You know what's true and what's not. And what's true is that the best laid plans need the strongest tools. And no tool has been up for more challenges than True Temper. These lawn and garden tools live up to their name again and again. Refined, perfected, strong, and durable. Innovative tools since 1808. You know what you need to get the job done. You and a tool that is absolutely true. True Temper.
A sure sign that spring and summer are here is the appearance of grills on decks, patios, and backyards across the country. May is National Barbecue Month, and today more Americans are lighting their grills than ever before, so it's especially important to remember that a successful barbecue is a safe barbecue. First, remember that grills are designed for outdoor use only. Never barbecue inside a tent, house, garage, or any enclosed area, because that can lead to a deadly accumulation of carbon monoxide. Set up the grill in a well-ventilated area that's away from buildings, overhead combustible surfaces, or dry landscaping. It's also important to make sure that the grill isn't left unattended while it's hot, and there's always a fire extinguisher close by. Now get busy and grill safe this year. I'm Danny Lifford with tips for today's homeowner.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
I've got weeds on the sidewalk and ants in the kitchen.
I told Angie we could help get rid of both and that she could even get one free.
Ace is a place to get rid of weeds and be bug free. Emphasis on free.
Now through Memorial Day, buy Roundup Weed and Grass Killer and get Ortho Home Defense Insect Killer free. Buy 1.1 gallon Roundup, get 1 gallon Ortho free. Offer valid through May 30th at participating stores. Store stock only. See store for details. Limit 1.
Sports Byline's library of more than 12,000 interviews is a treasure. I'm Ron Barr, and we want your help in protecting and continuing to build this sports interview treasure. Please go to sportsbyline.com/funding and watch the video so you can be a part of preserving and continuing to build this unique collection of interviews. In helping, we'll send you a special commemorative collection from the library. So check the video out at sportsbyline.com/funding, and thank you for your support and help.
Want to stay in touch with your favorite Sports Byline USA network hosts? Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Sports Byline USA. You can also see the latest news in the world of sports, learn about upcoming contests and giveaways, plus catch up on guest info so you never miss a moment with the biggest names in every sport. Football, basketball, baseball, MMA, and more. No matter where you are in the U.S. or around the world, you can stay connected to the host and fans who love what you love. So check us out on Facebook and Twitter at Sports Byline USA.
What the hell's going on out here?
All righty, everybody. Welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. This is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Hanging out with Jeff Rich, as he is my tag team partner in crime each and every week. We've got our professor of sports, John Poulter, with us right now. And obviously with the music, we're going to switch. We were talking some NHL hockey, obviously previewing what's going to come about in the Stanley Cup Finals. And I like San Jose just like you do, John. Jeff, you never gave us a prediction. Who do you like?
I like the Sharks. I would have been interested in seeing the Blues make it. I would have been interested in seeing Tampa Bay. But I think that you couldn't lose with this Final Four that we had out there. And it's going to be a great competition for Lord Stanley's Cup.
Yeah, we'll have to see how it all shakes out. But we're unanimous here in thinking San Jose can get it done. Speaking of unanimous, look, I don't exactly know what's going on with the Mets and the Dodgers, but truth be told, Chase Utley definitely benefited from the ejection, a pitch going behind him, a 99-mile-an-hour fastball. He has a couple homers, five RBI in the game, and his team gets the victory 9-1. But can you kind of clear that up a little bit with Chase Utley and the Mets?
Well, I didn't see the game live. I just saw the highlights and the analysis on MLB Network. And only Syndergaard, of course, knows whether he threw at him, whether he intended to throw at him. But I thought it was a little bit tame, certainly from the standpoint of where the pitch was and how far away it was from him. Yes, it was behind him. It was at his rear end. It's not like he was throwing at his head. I'm not sure that he was throwing at him. Syndergaard doesn't seem to have that kind of a reputation, although he's a young player, so we don't know very much about him. He came up in the Blue Jays system, and I did follow him a little bit in those days, and certainly he didn't have that reputation when he was in the Blue Jays system, and I haven't seen anything since he's been with the Mets and in the major leagues that would tend me to change my opinion on that. I think the fact that it was Utley and the fact that there was going to be something boiling and brewing on that, and I think everybody was anticipating that. I think that probably precipitated the call. I'm not sure who the umpire was, but I understand he's a relatively young umpire, and I kind of wonder if he might have overreacted a little bit. Certainly the way Collins came out and argued his case would indicate that Collins was not the one that instigated the throwing. Collins looked like he actually touched the umpire before he was ejected. Looked like it was accidental, but you touch an umpire, and that generally means Mr. Torre and friends are going to be having a meeting, and they're probably handing out a suspension. So it was ugly. We've seen a lot of this kind of garbage lately, and I'll use the word garbage because that's what it is. The number of beanball wars we've had in the last little while are starting to concern me a little bit. We've seen the Mets and the Dodgers, as you speak. We saw Cincinnati and Pittsburgh get into a nasty beanball war this week. Of course, we've got the ongoing Toronto-Texas issue. And, you know, looking at the Syndergaard situation, you go back a week and you look at the Blue Jays' visit to Minnesota last weekend when Phil Hughes, who normally is a pretty good control pitcher, threw two consecutive pitches, one inside at the belt to Donaldson and one behind Donaldson, and the pitcher was not warned. Yet yesterday we have a situation where he's thrown behind and all of a sudden he's thrown out on the first call. There's a little bit of inconsistency there. I'd like to see baseball define it a little better, come down with some firm rules, and set this thing straight before somebody gets hurt and gets hurt badly.
Doesn't it – just one real quick. I just have a follow-up. Doesn't it seem like we always go through seasons and there's a part of the season where this type of stuff happens?
Yeah, it does. And, I think it's something baseball's got to stop. And they've – more so than stopping it, they've got to be consistent with it. And I think part of the problem is if the players don't know what's going to be called and what's not going to be called, you know, it goes back to a simple thing like a strike zone. All that a catcher and a hitter and a pitcher will ask for is that the umpire be consistent on his strike call. And if pitcher A throws a ball on the outside corner low and it's a strike, then pitcher B expects the same thing and vice versa. You can't be all over the map. And it's much the same as a hockey game. If the referee lets it be known fairly early in the game that he's not going to put up with any garbage, or he's going to let the odd thing go, and he lets it go for both teams or calls it for both teams, I think everybody kind of knows what the ground rules are and they live with that. But this constant uncertainty of, this is a warning, this is not a warning. We go back to the Texas situation where Bush threw at Bautista. And clearly he was told to do that by Bannister. I mean, he's got no other reason to do it. Bush wasn't even with the team last year when this whole issue started. And Bush gets away with a fine, and everybody else gets suspended. The guy that starts it really, to me, should be the instigator, but baseball hasn't come up with a rule that solves that problem yet.
From that Mets-Dodgers series, we also got a little bit of baseball, and we saw the 19-year-old southpaw for the Dodgers, Julio Urias, make his debut. He was on a strict pitch count. He got deep into counts. He didn't go very long innings-wise, but, you always think, and if I can hop into the Wayback Machine here, of teams throwing pitchers' arms out at a very early age, like a 19-year-old Urias, that's not to say that Dave Roberts is going to do anything malicious with him, but do you worry when teams get a little anxious about these kids too young that we're going to get a David Clyde situation with these teenage pitchers trying to do too much too early?
Yeah, I think it's always going to be a factor, Jeff, and Clyde's probably the primary example. But, you look at it the other way, and you look at a guy like Dwight Gooden, who was very young when he first came up, and he had a pretty good career. It was probably a shorter career than most of us would have expected.
Fernando Valenzuela as well. I mean, yeah. To keep it within the Dodgers organization. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, Valenzuela, slightly different type of pitcher, more of a finesse pitcher than a heater. I think we kind of see pitchers rushed a little bit more now, but a lot of that is the finances and the economics of the game. Teams invest a lot of money in these assets, and they want these assets performing for them as quickly as possible. And pitching is such a big part of the game.
I think the opposite on that. I think that because of the advantage that you have that the service clock doesn't start until later, until you actually call the kid up, why don't you get him? If you get 6 free years, minus arbitration, of course, if you get 6 free years, don't you want those 6 years to be 21 to 27? I know the Dodgers probably don't have financial issues trying to bring their guys back, but I would think that the Major League Baseball rules set you up to be patient with these players.
Well, they do, but you also have to keep in mind, Jeff, that there's a lot of pressure on general managers and managers by ownership to win and put bums in the seats, put dollars in the cash register, and anybody that knows that he's a manager for a short period of time or a general manager for a short period of time, he has to make hay while the sun shines. And if he thinks that there's a 19-year-old kid playing AAA baseball that is better than the fifth starter that you have on the Major League roster at this particular time, why wouldn't you call him up? I mean, this is all about wins. It's a results league. It's a results sport, as are most of them. And I don't think baseball is any different from that standpoint. We probably see it in the NFL. We probably see it in the NBA. We certainly see it in the NHL, where if a guy is good enough, it really doesn't matter how old he is. There's a fine balance between how that works, and to your point, the Dodgers are not in an issue with a financial piece the same way as a smaller market team like Pittsburgh or Cincinnati or Milwaukee might be. But at the end of the day, I still think you have to put your best players on the field, and if you think he's one of your best players right now, maybe bringing him up is the right thing, but you got to manage him carefully.
Go ahead, Jeff. I thought you had one more question here.
Well, I do. There's 6 divisions in Major League Baseball. I wake up this morning and I look at the American League Central. And, John, who's on top of that division right now?
Well, Jeff, it's funny. I knew you were going to go there. I did my homework before we talk, as I do most weeks. And I got to tell you that the Indians are 16-10 this month. That's the best record in the American League. It's an almost equal to the Cubs, and we've talked about the Cubs, and the whole world has talked about the Cubs. The Cubs are 16-9 this month. The only team that is better than the Indians at 16-10 is the Giants at 19-7. And, I got to pat myself on the back here. I think the last thing that I said was that to break up that National League West, somebody's got to go on a 10 out of 12, 12 out of 15, 15 out of 20. That's where the Giants are right now, 19 and 7. But not to take anything away from the Indians, you know, they've gone into Chicago. They've dealt with the White Sox pretty easily in the games in that series so far. White Sox not having a very good month. They're 10 and 15, and all of a sudden, here's a team that came out of the gate real fast and suddenly finds themselves in third place in their division.
You know, I want to just stick real quickly with the Giants. Johnny Cueto, what do you think? I mean, obviously he's gotten off to a great start, but how much of that has to do with the whole way that the San Francisco Giants are playing in general? All of a sudden they've got their stuff going, they've got their mojo back, and it's an even year. Are we getting ourselves prepared for another World Series run from them or what?
I think so, and I think if we spun our tapes back to the beginning of the season, I think my picks for the World Series were the Giants and the Astros, and I'd put more money on the Giants right now than I would the Astros. although the Astros are starting to come along, you know, they're out of the basement now. They're tied for fourth place. They're 14 and 12 this month, so they're starting to turn it around. But you know, at the end of the day, the Giants are just a deep, quality, classy organization. Bruce Bochy might be the best manager in the major leagues right now. Certainly, in terms of World Series wins, he's the leader of managers in the major leagues right now. I just think that that's a good team, and Cueto is not expected to be the number one guy every time that he's out there. There's a lot of veteran savvy on that San Francisco pitching staff, and I think Cueto is a much better pitcher in the National League than he showed in the American League, and I think the Giants made a wise pickup, and they're using him very, very properly.
You know, sometimes, though, just a change of scenery is good, obviously, but also the book isn't really out on him as much in the National League as it was in the American League when you've been around for a while. So after everything, after the dust settles, will he still be successful?
Well, I think the fact there, Andy, is that, you know, they're not asking him to be the ace of the staff, and that's Bumgarner's role, and it's a role that he cherishes. And he handles it quite well, and I think Cueto is in a spot that he's going to be the number two or the number three guy, and he's playing on a strong team, which is a good hitting team. It's a good defensive team. The bullpen's pretty reasonable. It's a very stable environment. I think it's a good spot for anybody, actually, to be honest with you, and I think it helps steady a guy like Cueto down, who we know does have a little bit of an emotional breakup every once in a while.
Yeah.
Is there a team that's, you know, maybe third place or lower, not in the American League Central where everybody's separated by a half game, but is there a third or a fourth place team that hasn't gotten off to a good start that you think we could be talking about in September or October, John?
Yeah, St. Louis Cardinals. They're 26 and 24, third place in that division. They're 8.5 behind the Cubs, and part of that is the fact that the Cardinals haven't played well, and part of it is the fact that the Cubs have been tearing the cover off the baseball. But I think we all know that at the end of the year, the Cardinals are such a good, deep, quality organization. They always do things the right way. I'd be very surprised if the Cardinals are not around in that race right at the end of the year.
Hey, John, we're up against it, obviously. Appreciate you taking time out, giving us a quality 40 minutes of your day. So really appreciate it. Look forward to catching up with you next week, and we'll have some hockey to talk about. We'll actually kind of have a feel as to what's going to happen and who may take the series.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to join you guys, and we'll have two or three games under our bets under our belt by next week. And one last comment on baseball. Mr. Murphy in Washington got his 41st hit of the month last night. That's a pretty good month for anybody, but 41 hits in a month, that's pretty good pace.
Unbelievable. Thank you very much, John. Appreciate it as always. It is Dorf on Sports. You're hanging out on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We'll be right back, everybody.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warren Tech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
Here's an urgent alert from the Student Loan Hotline. The average student loan debt is $25,000. Have you been out of college for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? If you are struggling with paying off your student loan, if you are past due, we can help. Nationwide Student Loan Relief can now restructure your student loans. We can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop harassing collection calls, and even eliminate your student loan payment. If you can't afford your student loans, or if you're past due and you need help, you must call right now. We will restructure your loan or your money back, and that's a guarantee. So call the Student Loan Hotline right now. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices. Prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-663-7126 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-663-7126 to take your call now. Call 877-663-7126. That's 877-663-7126. Again, 877-663-7126.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. This is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. I'm going to throw this out here in the last moments because I do want to get into this with you in hour number two, Jeff. And it's the scandal, the sexual assaults, the violent, the incidents that obviously happened at Baylor. Just craziness, to be honest with you, man. Absolute craziness.
Yeah, there was something to Baylor all of a sudden being good and kind of turning the other cheek on some of this stuff is just unacceptable. Yeah, Art Briles brings these kids to Waco to teach them to be football players, but he doesn't have any regard for how they are as human beings, and there are a lot of victims to consider this. This goes beyond football, and it's really sad, and Baylor's going to get the hammer dropped on them as they deserve.
Yeah, I mean, look, bottom line is you're brought there to lead young men, you know, and you're put in a position of power, and a lot of people are following you. A lot of people look up to you, and this is a complete failure, man. I find it to be absolutely unbelievable when you really think about it.
And I just think of the fathers of these women and how unacceptable it is to do things for the sake of winning football games.
Craziness, man. At what price are we willing to go, to be honest with you? It's crazy what some will do to win, to get better. Not me, man. That ain't my way. I'm sorry, bro. I ain't doing it. But anyways, hour number one, cruise by. Got to thank John Poulter, obviously, for putting in some work for us on the program, our professor of sports. Keep it close. Hour number two on the horizon. We're going to get more into some basketball and maybe even more into the Baylor situation and just kind of go around the world of sports. Anyways, Jeff Rich, Dorfman, it is Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We'll be right back, everybody.